Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Last week we began this series, The Power for Life, and we talked about how important it is not to neglect the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And today I'd like to look at another area concerning the role of the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes this is an area that could be misunderstood depending on church background, depending on your background. This is something that oftentimes when we talk about this particular aspect of the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of different opinions in this area. And so I just want to ask you just to pray and say, Lord, will you guide, will you open up my understanding? For some of you, you've been around the church, you've been in part of a Pentecostal church, you've been part of an Assemblies of God church, you've kind of grown up in it. So when I talk about and say the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you come in with a particular idea, a particular thought on that, and you're like, woohoo, he's finally going to preach on that. It's about time, right? There are some of you. Some of you, you're just being real quiet right now. Usually you're the Pentecostals. I want to hear from you, you know? But there are others of you that maybe have come from different backgrounds where what was taught about the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a little bit different, maybe than the way that we as an Assemblies of God church understand that. And so maybe there's a little bit of hesitancy. In fact, even coming to this church, knowing it was a Pentecostal church, was kind of like, what am I going to expect? Am I going to see people hanging from the chandeliers and rolling around on the floor? And is there going to be all kinds of, you know, loud, crazy things that are going on and people falling out all over? What's going to be happening? And so some of you might be a little bit concerned. What does that mean? And maybe there are some things that you've been taught in terms of whether, is it for today? Is it from God? Oh, I understand that. And then there are some of you go, what? I don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, I'm kind of new to faith. I came here to kind of explore. I heard about church. I was invited. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not even there yet. So I understand that. And so this morning, as we walk through this, I want to do so in kind of a teaching way. We're just going to unpack God's word this morning, share from God's word, and I'm just going to ask the Lord just to teach. How many of you know that one of the roles, regardless of where you feel about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I think everybody can agree that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth. It's to reveal the word of God. And so today, as we begin, I'm just going to open in prayer, and I just want to pray for the Holy Spirit just to open up our understanding of God's word and to let us see some things in his word and to work in our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit guide us today. So let's open in prayer, and then we're going to get into teaching from God's word this morning. Father, we just thank you today. Your word is life. And Lord, it's the foundation for everything regarding doctrine, regarding truth that guides our lives. Holy Spirit, you are the counselor. You are the one who guides us into all truth. You're the one that reveals the word of God to us and that allows us to have understanding of God's word. We pray today that you will just help us to understand your word today. Help us understand a little bit more about who you are, the role that you have in our lives. Father, we thank you today, and we pray, Lord, your blessing over your word. Make it plain and open up our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to begin in Acts chapter 8. So if you have a copy of God's word, maybe you've downloaded the PAG app and you can follow along with the app notes that are there. But I want to begin in Acts chapter 8. And we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 8. You see, this is where Philip, and Philip was not an apostle. Philip was not one of the apostles. Philip was not even a credentialed clergy or pastor. I don't know if they had credentials back then, but that Philip was a deacon. He was a deacon, and he had one of the gifts of the Spirit that's revealed in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, that he gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets and some to be evangelists and pastors and teachers. He was known as an evangelist. He had a gift of evangelism. And so what we see is this deacon, this evangelist named Philip, who had the gift of evangelism, but simply a deacon who was serving in the church, simply as one who had been called out in the church. He had been called to take the gospel to a people who were in the region of Samaria. And if you were with us a few weeks ago, I shared that Samaria was a region just north of the region of Judea, south of the region of Galilee, kind of in the middle and made up of people who were half Jewish and half Gentile. And as a result, most of the time, as the Jesus ascended, as the church got started after the day of Pentecost, the church mainly hung out, and the operation and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the gospel really took place right around Jerusalem. That's kind of where it stayed. That's kind of where it was. Then all of a sudden there began a lot of persecution that took place in Jerusalem. And as a result of that, it began to push the church outside and the message of the gospel began to spread. Now, how many of you know that is a part of God's plan? And if you and I don't take ownership of God's plan and begin to move in the direction He calls us to, how many know sometimes He will make it uncomfortable for us and He will push us towards His plan? See, they weren't moving outside of the walls of Jerusalem, outside the city of Jerusalem, but Jesus, when He gave His command in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, said that you will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes on, you'll be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem and Judea was that region in which Jerusalem sat in. It was kind of that area, and Jerusalem was in the region of Judea, but it had yet gone to Samaria, let alone the uttermost parts of the earth. So based on some persecution, the church began to expand out, and Philip is one who went to Samaria as a result of that, and we see that happening in Acts chapter 8. Now let's begin reading in verse 5. Of Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now let me just pause for a moment. Remember, I told you, Philip was not an apostle. Philip was not one of the disciples. Philip was not what he was. He was simply who had become a follower in the church and was raised up as a leader. He was a lay leader. He was a deacon. He had a gift of evangelism. But Philip was operating and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you see that there? And it was the power of the Holy Spirit, this lay person, this person who had been filled with the Holy Spirit, who was operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that got the attention, and it made the crowd stand up and pay attention to what he said. And I say that because oftentimes we think the pastor, the paid staff, the pastor, the ordained minister, that's the one who God uses in the gifts of the Holy Spirit or in the power of the Holy Spirit. But friends, I'm here to tell you that the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit and the miracles that can be done in the power of the Holy Spirit are not just for paid clergy. How many say, thank you, Jesus, that's not the case. In fact, I believe that the church is anemic because the people of God have not taken up and begin to live out their mandate in being filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know there might be some pushback in that. But I'm going to tell you, we need the entire body of Christ operating in the various gifts of the Holy Spirit for the church to make a difference in this culture today that doesn't want to honor God. We need everybody. We don't get to be spectators. Everybody. All right, that's just a side note, all right? So here's what happens, all right? Philip, with the power of the... I get preaching, that's what I do. I say I'm going to teach, and then I get preaching. This is what happens. Philip's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He goes to Samaria, he's proclaiming the message. The message is confirmed by the signs and the wonders. What's the result? Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. When they believed Philip, but when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So what's the first experience they have? The first experience they have, they come and they recognize and they place their faith in Jesus Christ. And what do? They follow it up with water baptism. They followed up by being baptized. So what we see is salvation. This indicates salvation by faith has taken place. It's called being born again. And when we experience salvation, here's what happened. The Holy Spirit enters our life. So point number one this morning, the Holy Spirit enters my life when I experience salvation. The Holy Spirit enters my life when I experience salvation. The moment you come to Christ, the moment you place your faith in Jesus, the moment you have what we call a born-again salvation experience, the Holy Spirit enters your life. The Holy Spirit is present in your life. We see this with the disciples in John 20, 21 and 22. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And it says this, "And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Why did he breathe on them? Boy, that seems a little weird, doesn't it? This breath thing. Well, if you go back to Genesis in the beginning of creation, you go back to Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So the first time that man came to life, the first time that there was breath, when you have a baby and they kind of give that baby a little pat so that baby begins to cry. Why? So that baby can receive the breath of life, right? That's being born. If you're breathing, it's a sign of life. Amen? Now, something happened because something spiritually happened. Not physically, so to speak, but something spiritually happened when Adam decided to disobey God, rebel against God, and sin. When he did, there was a curse, and the curse was sin and death. Now, Adam didn't immediately die as soon as he rebelled against God, but it began something somewhat of a spiritual death that took place. And we see this in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Let me give you a little bit of a biblical worldview here. The scripture describes that every person is born a sinner. Every person's born a sinner. We're born with a tendency to sin. And that tendency to sin makes us spiritually dead inside. In other words, there's a hollow space on the inside, and we're really incapable of knowing God or following God because we're spiritually dead. You say, I don't know about that. Well, let's go to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3, Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, writes this: As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. What is this saying? It's saying that because of this sin nature, the inside of us, our spirit is dead to the things of God. We live to gratify the flesh. We live under the unction of this world's view, this pattern after sin. We have no desire to follow the Lord. We have no desire to do the things that are right. Oh, there may be some things that we've been taught and some good things, and I want to be a good person and don't lie and don't do that. The propensity to really be able to carry those things out is really not in us to do, and we find ourselves in a pattern where we sin and we don't even care. We're not even convicted. That's just the way we live. That's what happens when we don't live for God. It's called being spiritually dead. But how many of you know God loved us enough not to leave us that way? He loved it. That's why Jesus came. And we continue in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy. Remember, we talked about the miracle of mercy. How many are glad God is rich in mercy? God is rich in mercy. And what did he do? He made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace that you have been saved. You see, when Jesus came as God in the flesh and he gave his life on the cross for you and I and he shed his blood, he gave the right and the ability for you and I to become awake from our spiritual darkness and deadness. All of a sudden, we were spiritually dead. We didn't care. But through Christ Jesus, we can be made alive again. How are we made alive? By his blood, but because his Holy Spirit enters into us. His Holy Spirit enters into us. And this is what it says in John 3:6. He was talking to a religious leader named Nicodemus. He said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised by my saying, you must be born again. Notice, spirit is not a little S, it's a big S. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives our spirits life. That's what it means to be born again. When we are spiritually dead, we become alive because of the Holy Spirit who now lives in us. It's why Paul says that the body, your body is the temple of what? Of the Holy Spirit who lives where? In you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We say, Jesus came into my heart. What do we mean by that? We say, I asked Jesus into my heart. It means the Holy Spirit came into our lives. The Holy Spirit gave birth to our spirit, awoke in our spirit, new life in our spirit, and we have been made alive with Christ. We've been made alive again. So I wasn't dead to begin with. I was breathing. You were dead to the things of God. If you came to know Jesus Christ, it's because he loved you so much that the Holy Spirit all of a sudden awoke your spirit to the need for Jesus Christ and the need to be born again and forgiven. That's what it is. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We have been made spiritually alive. See, there was the physical temple in the Old Testament. I'm off my notes now. That's dangerous. There was the physical temple in the Old Testament. Before that was a tent called the tabernacle. And they had the Ark of the Covenant, and it represented the presence of God. And you had to come to the tent to be able to worship, or you had to come to that physical temple to worship. And that's why they made such a big deal over the temple. And Jesus said, listen, the temple's going to be destroyed. Why? It's going to be torn down. There is no temple. There is no... Why? Because the Holy Spirit is going to live in you. You have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And Peter goes even further and says, you're a kingdom of priests. You say, I'm not a priest. I don't have a collar. Right? I don't wear a collar. I'm not that. Yes, a priest is an intermediary. It's somebody who can speak directly to God on behalf of others. Listen, that's why we're called to be intercessors. We have a great high priest, Jesus. Jesus is our great high priest, but you and I serve with him as a kingdom of priests. We serve God because we're filled with the Spirit of God, and we can lead others to Christ. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Now, get this. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 7, 38 and 39. That empty dead space on the inside, when you come to be born again, is now filled with the Holy Spirit. The moment you give your life to Christ, your spirit becomes alive and the Holy Spirit lives in you. And Jesus describes something like this in John 7, 38 and 39. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture had said, rivers of living water will flow where? From within him. Read the scripture, it's in there, from within him. And then it goes on to say, by this, they give us a little explanation, John does, by this he meant the Spirit, capital S, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. When did they later receive? They later received when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They later received on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water flow from within him. Why? Because he says up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. What does that mean? Jesus hadn't ascended. He hadn't ascended to the Father. He hadn't risen from the dead. He hadn't been glorified. But when Jesus was glorified, he said, listen, if I don't go, the Holy Spirit cannot come. It's good that I go. Why? Because he wanted the Holy Spirit to live in each and every one of us, and that from within us, the Holy Spirit would flow out of us to a lost and dying world who needs to know Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes out of us, flows out of us. And that's what the scriptures are talking about here. That the Spirit of God will not just enter your life, but will be released through your life. The Spirit of God will not just enter our life, the Spirit of God will be released through our life. It'll be like a geyser, ready to explode. Ready to explode. I mean, I've just given you a little bit of scripture about Christianity and all that kind of stuff, but I want to give you a vision for your life. God didn't just put you on earth to survive. God didn't put you on earth just to survive another week. You're not here just a little bit. And being in this service and hearing things of God's word isn't just to make you a better citizen or a better person, you know, so that you can die and then go to heaven. God didn't call you just for that. If that's your version and vision of Christianity, it's too small. Why? Because God has a plan to use you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to use you to be his witnesses. God has a plan and a call on each and every one of your lives. Every one of us God wants to use. And he's given us the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And then he says, I want to fill you with more. So the Holy Spirit on the inside will come out and will overflow to the world in which we live. Will come out exploding. I think we undersell that. I don't think we recognize that God wants to use us. The Holy Spirit lives in me at salvation, but he wants to explode through me. So salvation and sanctification are simply the first work of the Holy Spirit, and we receive that at salvation. Now, point number two is this. The Holy Spirit erupts from my life when I experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is a separate work of grace. Separate from salvation, there's a separate work of the Holy Spirit. Remember, in John, Jesus said he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Yet in Acts, we see him telling the disciples to go and wait for the promise of my Father, that the Holy Spirit would come on not many days from now. John baptized with water, but you will be what? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's in there. Read Acts chapter 1. It's right there. So let's go back to Acts chapter 8, because we see this in Acts chapter 8. Philip leads the Samaritans to salvation, and they are water baptized to demonstrate their commitment and their conversion to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Acts chapter 8 and 14, verse 14, we read this. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. So the apostles back in Jerusalem hear that the Samaritans have received salvation. They've been baptized in water. There's a church that's been planted. There's believers that are there. And they say, hey, we've got to go and check this out. We've got to go minister to these new believers. We've got to go see them. Why? Why? Well, because there was something else they needed to have. There was something else that was for them. A separate work that was for them. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 15. When they arrived, they prayed for these new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. What do we see? Why? If you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation, if that's what awakens your spirit and gives you new life, why do Peter and John say they have not yet received the Holy Spirit? Because it's a separate work of the baptism in the Holy Spirit that we're talking about here. That's the empowerment for witness, that the Holy Spirit could explode out of their lives and work in them in what we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When Peter and John placed their hands on them, they received that. And similar to what Jesus told his disciples, to go and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, that they would receive power. And it's why I said the Holy Spirit kind of erupts in our lives. And I kind of want to illustrate it this way to you. And I left my little illustration down here because I didn't have anywhere to put it. But I've got a can of Crush here. I don't know if anybody likes Crush. But I got a can of pop here. Yeah, a can of Crush, pop, soda, whatever you call it. On the east side they call it soda. We call it pop here in Ohio. I grow that. Now, at salvation, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, in this can, when they create this can, there's something inside of this can. It's called carbonation, right? There's all those little bubbles and carbonation and all that. That's all in there, isn't it? It's in there. And you only know it's in there if you pop the top and you can see the fizzing and everything else that's going on inside. But all those little bubbles are all in there. Now, if I were to start to shake this up, right? If I were to start to shake this up, you know, what's happening? All them little bubbles, all that carbonation. I'd come over here to Pastor James. What would happen, Pastor James? Right? If I were to pop that top, what would happen?
It would spray all over me.
It would spray all over you, right? Why? Because all those little bubbles are being activated. They're being activated. They're being stirred up. And what's on the inside, you shake this up long enough. I got to be careful. I shake this up too much and set it down. It may go. Back up. All those things get activated. Now, the baptism in the Holy Spirit who lives in you is simply the stirring of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And as the Holy Spirit is stirred inside of you, ask the Lord for the baptism in the Holy Spirit inside of you. What happens is the Holy Spirit becomes to get activated in your life. And when the Holy Spirit is activated in your life, the Holy Spirit can't stay in there. The Holy Spirit has to come out, has to erupt out, has to go out. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is simply a stirring of the Holy Spirit who already lives in you. It's not something foreign. This is not something weird. This is not something foreign. This is the Holy Spirit being activated and being stirred up in your life. And as the Holy Spirit is activated and stirred up in your life, the Holy Spirit in living water begins to come out of your life. Some of you say, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at one time, but boy, it's been a while. That's because you're not continuing to stir up and activate the Holy Spirit in your life. You've gone dormant. You say, is that scriptural? Well, let me talk to you a guy by the name of Timothy. A guy by the name of Timothy. Paul had discipled this guy, Timothy. And Timothy had walked with the Lord. Timothy had walked with the Lord. And Paul says, listen, I want you to stay back and pastor this church. And Paul said, I'm going to write you some letters. I'm going to encourage you. And so he writes a pastoral epistle, a letter to him in 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 and 7, he's writing to Timothy. It's kind of a pastor's heart. And he's sharing with Timothy because Timothy is facing a difficult thing. I'm going to tell you, sometimes leading a church and leading people is difficult, right? Yeah, some of you don't want to admit that. You're difficult. I'm just going to tell you that. All right. Some of you say, not me. Some of you aren't. Some of you, you know who you are. You know. But I can tell you that sometimes, especially when you're young, it's a fearful thing. When you're leading other people, it's a fearful thing. And you can get intimidated by people and by personalities, and you can get fearful. And listen to what Paul is telling Timothy here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 and 7. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is where? In you. through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Fan into flame. Stir up the gift of God that is where? In you. In you. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a strange thing, but it's about learning how to stir up and fan into flame the Holy Spirit that is in us. And I'm going to tell you that the Holy Spirit that is in you doesn't want to stay in you. The Holy Spirit that is in you wants to come out to transform, to change this world, to glorify Jesus Christ for why He came. You can't keep it all inside. It's not enough to keep it inside. If you've been born again, you can't keep it inside. It's why when we're worshiping the Lord and we start praising the Lord and you start getting excited about Jesus, it's why you start feeling something happening inside. I've had people tell me, man, that worship was so good. There was just something happened. I could just feel the Holy Spirit. There was just something that was going on. How many of you say, I've felt that before? You're activating the Holy Spirit. Praise and prayer and worship activate the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's why we start our service that way. Because we want to focus on Jesus Christ. And we want to start to say, Holy Spirit, I need you activated in my life. Move in my life. And it doesn't just have to happen in here. You can put on some praise music at home. That's right. You can begin to praise at home. You say, I can't really sing. Make a joyful noise. Right? Man, begin to praise. Begin to pray. Begin to stir up the gift of God that is in you. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit is activated in our lives and gives us, wants to come out so that we have the power to become witnesses. And I say that when the Holy Spirit comes to you, how do I know? How do I know I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? How do I know that? Well, Acts 8:18 says this, when they laid their hands on them, this was the previous verse, they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. It says this, when Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on of the hands of the apostles, he offered them money. He had to see something. Simon was a sorcerer. He did all kinds of miracles. Something had to happen. There had to be some kind of sign. There had to be something had to happen that Simon recognized that, man, if I have that, I could really make some money. I want to buy that. Can I buy that? Can I buy that power to do that? You can't buy that power to do that. All right? You can't do that. That's not something you buy. He was off. He was new. He didn't quite understand things, and his motivations were wrong. All right? Just going to be honest with you. But there was something that he was able to recognize that the baptism in the Holy Spirit had given. In other words, that the Holy Spirit on the inside had erupted out in some way. Well, what do we see? Let's just go through some scriptures. Let's start right at the beginning, the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound of a blowing and violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So on the day of Pentecost, you got about 120, including the disciples in the upper room. They heard the sound of a blowing violent wind. There were tongues of fire that came to rest. Fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In other words, there was an eruption, and what happened out of that eruption was something verbally that came out of their lips to a gathering crowd. Now, they were there for a feast of Pentecost, and there were people from all kinds of different nations, and they heard their tongue, what they heard in their native language, in their tongue, what? These apostles glorifying and praising God in their own language. Some people thought they were drunk. They said, this is just really weird. Why? You say, that's weird. It is. People there even thought it was weird. They thought it was strange. But that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, let's go to another passage of Scripture. Acts chapter 10. How many Italian people do we have in the house? There was an Italian Roman soldier. Yeah, there's a few of you. Not enough of you. We need more Italians in this church. This guy was named Cornelius. Man, he was a Roman centurion, but he was a God-fearer. And man, he had a vision to go send for Peter. He wanted to know more about God. And God said, hey, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. Let me tell you something. God wants to know you, wants you to know him. He wants you to know him. And he said, listen, I want you to send for Peter. Peter happened to be up on a roof. He had a vision too. It was all confirmed. Peter wasn't supposed to go to a Gentile's house. This is moving beyond Samaria now to the Gentiles in the uttermost parts of the earth. And it begins with this Italian guy named Cornelius. Peter obeys. Peter goes back and he begins to talk with them about Jesus. He's preaching to them. He's preaching them in the house. He's got all the families, all his friends, his servants. And he's preaching about Jesus. And somewhere along the line, while he's preaching about Jesus, these people go, man, what he's saying is right. We believe. Why? Because it's by faith, right, that we're saved. It's by faith. And at some point in time, they don't even have to say a prayer, repeat after me prayer. They activate by putting their faith in Jesus Christ at that point. And something happens in which it confirms, and Peter knows, Acts 10:44-46, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came upon on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, circumcised simply means the Jewish believers, the people who were Jewish had been circumcised, the Jewish believers. The circumcised believers had come with Peter, and they were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. How did they know the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles? What does it say? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Speaking in tongues and praising God. Man, they were astonished. Why? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. There was something that happened in Cornelius' house, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And how do they know? Because the Holy Spirit activated in their lives, all of a sudden erupted in tongues and in praising God. Another passage in Acts chapter 19, Paul goes to Ephesus, and he meets a group of people, and he says, hey, what do you know about this Christianity thing? And they said, well, we don't know a whole lot. You know, we don't know a whole lot. And he said, well, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we haven't even heard there is a Holy Spirit. He said, what baptism did you receive? And they said, we received the baptism of John. He goes, hold on. John was the forerunner to Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let's start there. All right, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. You had John's baptism. Let me tell you about Jesus and who Jesus is, who Jesus Christ is, because John was pointing to him. And so Paul shares about Jesus Christ, and in Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, it says that Paul said, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, they received salvation. Their spirit was awake, and they received salvation. What's the next thing that Paul does? The very next verse, Acts 19:6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Once again, the baptism in the Holy Spirit being poured out, the Holy Spirit being activated in their lives, erupts and begins to erupt out, and it erupts out in this tongues and in prophesying. In all of us, it comes out. There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, an eruption that comes from the inside. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you, and then the Holy Spirit comes out. And the way that the Holy Spirit came out and expressed and came out was they spoke in tongues and prophesied. What came out when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said a couple of things, but let me just say four ways the Holy Spirit's released. Number one, praise. I already got ahead of myself, so I'm going to go through these quickly. Acts 2:11, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. The Holy Spirit is here on earth to point people to Jesus, all right? To point people to Jesus. Tongues is a sign for the unbeliever. All right, I'm going to tell you, it's all about pointing people to Jesus, the primary mission to empower us as believers to point people to Jesus, to be His witnesses. Why? Why do we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the power of Jesus? Why does each and every one of us need that? Because we need to point this world and those who don't know Christ, we need to point them to Jesus. The point of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is so that you can point people to Jesus, so you can lift up praise. And as I said, praise activates your spirit. Every time you get involved in worship, every time you begin to do it, what's on the inside, the Holy Spirit is stirred up and the Holy Spirit wants to come out. Second is prophesy. And that's another thing that happens. We just read it in Acts chapter 19 and verse 6 that when he placed his hands on the Holy Spirit came out, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Let me explain this. What's prophecy? What is prophesying? In the Old Testament, historically, it was about predicting what God was saying. This is going to happen in the future. This is going to happen in the future. There was a lot of warnings as well. You're not living for God. You're not living the way you should. You got to come back to repentance or this is going to happen. In the New Testament, though, prophecy goes beyond just simply predicting things, but it's about speaking life to people. 1 Corinthians 14 describes what happens when we prophesy. We do it for people's encouragement and strengthening and comfort. Encouragement. It's speaking encouragement. It's things that come up that encourage. It's not just something nice that you say, but prophecy is an explosion of your spirit where it builds up and activates and builds up and encourages and strengthens the body of Christ. That's what it's for. to strengthen and encourage the body of Christ. And you oftentimes when this happens and you're the Holy Spirit is activated in this way and you're doing, you oftentimes will say to yourself, wow, I can't believe that came out of my mouth. I didn't plan on saying that. That can't be me. I'd have never said that. I'd have never done that. I'd have never said that. Why? The Holy Spirit is activated and the Holy Spirit is coming out. Prophecy is holy inspired encouragement, friends. Holy inspired encouragement. And we need some of that in our homes and in our marriages and in our churches and in our relationships. Thirdly, there was prayer language. It's probably the most controversial of the group. It's the one that gets all kinds of press. But in Acts 2:4, we said that they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They heard the speaking in tongues and praising God, Acts 10:46. So this is one of those things that needs explanation. So let me just take just a couple minutes before, I know we're getting near the end, a couple minutes. How many of you believe in miracles? Anybody believe in miracles? Yeah. Very simply put, speaking in tongues is a miracle of language. Simply put, speaking in tongues is a miracle of language. God gives us the capacity to speak a language we've never learned. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what it is. It's simply a miracle of language. How many know that God knows all languages? God created all languages. God knows all languages. And in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about speaking in tongues and of angels, tongues of men and of angels. He says, and have not love, it profits nothing. What we're talking about is not only tongues that are here on earth, but tongues of men and of angels. It's a miracle of language. That's simply what we're talking about when we talk about prayer language. Why is it necessary? You say, do I really need to do this? I'm really uncomfortable with it. Here's why this language of miracle, I think, is so important. Because the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit and miracles, I believe when it comes to the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the miracle of language, I believe it's a starter miracle. Other miracles flow and happen, but I believe it's a start. It's a starter miracle because God wants to do more through your life, but this is kind of a gateway miracle. He wants to do supernatural things for you. And as you pray out in your language that you've never studied or learned, and you begin to pray as the Holy Spirit enables you and gives you the utterance, there are supernatural things that happen as you begin to partner with the Holy Spirit through your prayer language. And that's what it is. It's a prayer language. As you begin to intercede, and as you begin to pray in that prayer language, your spirit begins to unite with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God begins to pray through you for things you don't even know you should pray for. When you don't know how you ought to pray, the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings and words that cannot be uttered. You can't understand. That's what happens. It activates that prayer language. Why do I think it is so important? Why would God choose the tongue? Why would God want to have control of that? Well, ask Jesus' brother James. Because in James 3:2, he says, we all stumble in many ways. Everyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. And then in James chapter 3, what does he use? He uses a couple of illustrations. He uses the illustration of a little rudder and a big boat. All right, we're near Lake Erie and it's summer and something. A little big boat and a little rudder. And he said, the tongue is like that. Why? Because the tongue, if you can get control of the tongue, it can direct and steer your life. He uses about a horse, and the bit in the mouth of a horse is able to take this big, huge, strong horse, bigger than you, and you can direct it wherever it needs to go. Why? By the little bit where? In its mouth. Listen, if you allow the Holy Spirit to be activated in your life, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you begin to give God control as you begin to pray in the Spirit, and God has control over your spirit, over your tongue, and you begin to intercede and pray in your prayer language. Let me tell you something. God will direct you. God will direct you who to pray for. God will direct you what to say when you're in a conversation and somebody needs a prophecy of encouragement or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. Somebody needs to be healed. God can direct you to those people as you activate the Holy Spirit in and through your life. Praying in the Spirit is praying out in a spiritual language. It allows the Father to be able to express things through you. So when I'm praying, let me tell you, when I'm praying my spiritual language, my mind doesn't understand what's going on. Different than tongues that require interpretation in a public worship setting. That's a whole other sermon for another time. But it's a language I've never learned. But as I begin to pray in the Spirit gives me a burden for something. I often see the face of somebody I'm praying for. I often come across a problem I didn't even know was going on. Begin to intercede and the Holy Spirit begins to work. Why? Because we have a very real spiritual realm, folks. A very real spiritual realm. The natural is not all there is. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's number four, power. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The stirring of the Holy Spirit as we worship. Then out of our lips comes praise, prophecy, and prayer language. These are the gateway to number four, which is the power of God being released out of your life, in and through your life, the Holy Spirit transpiring and moving. I believe our community, our city, our nation is lacking a Holy Spirit-filled people that are erupting in the power of the Holy Spirit, working in and through and out of their lives. And if the church was operating in the power of the Spirit, I believe our community, our world, our families, our marriages would never be the same. So friends, I know that we're right at noon. And we had a lot going on this morning. But I want the worship team to come. And I want us to begin to praise. And I want us to begin to worship. And I want us to begin to pursue the stirring of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you say, I got an appointment, then feel free. But friends, I want us to take some time around these altars. I want us to take some time to praise and to worship. And I want you to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, to stir up and ask for the Holy Spirit, His praise and worship. Ask for His Spirit to be released in your life. And as the Lord begins to move, and as the Spirit begins to get stirred, as God begins to give you that prayer language, as God begins to give you those things, begin to pray that out. Begin to speak that out. Begin to pray that out. Let the Holy Spirit move in you. If you want some people to pray with you this morning, maybe you have a need or something, the altar team is going to be here. They'll pray with you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you say, I've not been born again. I don't know if my spirit's even alive. I don't even know the Holy Spirit lives in me. I need forgiveness of my sin. I need to start there. If I've been preaching, you say, you know what? I need Jesus. Will you come? And let one of our altar team, let me know. Hey, I need to receive Jesus this morning. I need to start there. I need to be born again this morning. Maybe you've been a long time. The Holy Spirit's gone dormant in your life. You haven't been activated. You haven't activated the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you what Paul told Timothy. It's time to fan it into flame. It's time to fan it into flame. You need the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through your life. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you, but He's not wanting to just stay in there. He's wanting to erupt out of your life. Will you let Him? Will you let Him? Will you let Him have control, or do you still want control? Who do you want control in your life? I think we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray, and then we're going to stand and worship.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.